This is the Coach Les Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Denver, here's Coach Les.
Welcome back to the Coach Les Show, SB Nation Radio. Hey, if you have any questions, you can text us or you can give us a call. 1-800-777-2907. Coach Les Show is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get down, get something from there, and tell them Coach Les sent you. Right now, I have my man Matt Dainley on SB Nation Radio. He covers the Indiana, the Colts. It sounds cooler than just saying Colts. What's going on? What's going on, man?
Not much, man. How you doing tonight?
Good, man. Good. See, doesn't that sound better to call y'all the Indiana Football Club, or are you just good with the Colts?
I can't get down with that. I can't get down with that. It's got to be the Colts.
Hey, fair enough. So it looks like you guys got your coach.
It looked like it. It sounds like the last meeting that they had, I think it was this past Friday, everything went well, it seems. McDaniels met with both Irsay and Ballard. Irsay made the trip to New England to meet him. So, you know, that's kind of the sign-off for all the, you know, the things that the underlings that we can't really see that's going on behind the scenes. So that seems like good news.
It does. So obviously, or maybe this is just my mindset, obviously that means that Luck is going to be playing, because I don't think he takes the job if there's something still wrong with Luck.
Yeah, I think that's fair to assume. I mean, you have to – I think that we're all very hopeful that Andrew Luck's going to play next year. Obviously, you know, I mean, from we obviously want him there from the very first moment that he's able to, as in camp or anything. We want to see him throwing 50-yard bombs and being ready to go. And I think anything less than that will definitely cause some concern for any of the Colts fans, but I just think it'll be that they're just hoping that this process has lasted so long already that they're really wanting to see some results from this time off, this rehab, this surgery, that everything that's come through with their franchise quarterback, and I think rightly so. But, you know, I kind of wonder, I think that anymore, and this is just my opinion, but I think that Chris Ballard is as much the selling point, or maybe not quite as much, but pretty close to as much as the selling point as Andrew Luck himself, to be quite honest with you, because I don't think that if Andrew Luck was here, and let's just say Ryan Grigson was still running the team, and that's just, you know, for the last GM, no real reason other than that, if he was still running the team, I don't think that you see Josh McDaniels in Indianapolis, because I don't think that he would trust that the roster would be built around that franchise quarterback to really complete the cycle of building a perennial contender.
Yeah, it's true. You know, here's my thing with it. You know, it's kind of late in the game. I know everybody wanted McDaniels. He was like the number one guy for almost every team. And, you know, he to me, that was smart for him to go with a quarterback that can probably give you something. But there's a lot of holes on this team. There's a lot. Staff. What is he going to do as far as coaching staff? Are there any people still left that you think he should probably still keep at with the Colts?
No, I think the ones that were worth keeping have already, you know, found their jobs elsewhere. I think that they could have kept McMahon, the special teams coach. I think he was great. You know, the wide receivers coach was coming in. He was a guy that a lot of people had high hopes for of rebuilding the receiving core, as far as making them a more physical bunch, you know, being able to do things downfield to improve the yards after catch and stuff. And, you know, he's gone too. So, I mean, there's then Schottenheimer, you know, he's a guy that I think that a lot of people had, and me included, I was really impressed with how he turned Andrew Luck's last season in 2016 around. I mean, he had his best completion rate and still threw for over 4,200 yards, had his second best touchdown percentage of his career. And I think a lot of that was because of Schottenheimer coming in there and really just, you know, holding him accountable for what he was doing and trying to get him to get his simplicities of the fundamentals of the position and the intricacies down and more put together. Because, you know, let's face it, Andrew Luck's had those moments in his past where, you know, he's kind of got those OS passes, you know, that just end up flying through the air, and it just seemed like there was one of them a game. But it seemed like Schottenheimer really got him to take care of his eye discipline and some of his footwork and mechanics and stuff to make himself a better overall quarterback. So I think that's something that we would have liked to see hang around. He's gone to Seattle now for the OC job there. But there's some bright names coming in with McDaniels. I think Eberflus as the defensive coordinator is interesting because he's going to possibly, and my assumption is that we could probably see more of a 4-3 base front for the Colts defense, which would ultimately allow them, and you know, from what I see on the roster, that they're, some of their strong points are becoming this front seven with Jonathan Hankins being there. You know, Javal Sheard has some versatility. He's able to be a four down lineman like he was when he was in Cleveland as well, if that's the case, and they end up finding a pure pass rusher out of this draft. So I think there's, you know, some interesting changes that are going to happen, and I think that most of them, for the most part, are going to be for the better.
I was looking at some of the needs that you guys probably, based off of just looking at last season, pass rush, which you just addressed, you're going to need a guard and an inside linebacker, and then running back, Frank Gore. He says he wants to play for a contender, so he's probably going to leave. So do you address that in free agency, or do you think you guys go out and you draft somebody to come in to try to be your running back?
I think that they could do. I honestly think that they could double dip if they wanted to. If Gore isn't here, which I still think there's a possibility that he is, I don't think that it's a high probability at all. But I think that they could find, you know, room for him there if he was going to take the right deal. If he trusts Andrew Luck as much as he says he does, but you know, there's interesting guys out there in free agency like Carlos Hyde. You know, a name that I don't think that too many people should bypass, to be quite honest with you, is Deion Lewis. For all, he doesn't bring a whole lot of excitement, you know, just in namesake itself, but he's got that familiarity with McDaniels. He is able to be both a running threat between the tackles, and, you know, he can catch the ball, and he's productive. He had 9 touchdowns last season with the Patriots, and that would bring in a lot of interest, as far as I'm concerned, with maybe Deion Lewis. You have Marlon Mack, that those two could share time and kind of be that 1-2 punch of not necessarily a between the tackle group, but if you go Carlos Hyde in free agency and kind of spend some big money there, which the Colts have a ton of it. So, I mean, it's possible that they could double dip. But I think there's a lot of interesting running backs in this draft. And I think if they can get 4 real quality running backs on this team, that it really improves a lot of what the Colts plan to do in the future, and it could really make a big difference in how successful McDaniels' offense is in his first year. Now, as far as guard and some of the other positions that are of need, I mean, the Colts, they need them. Those aren't just wants; those are needs. The Colts need a better offensive line, and I think that, you know, Andrew Norwell, the free agent guard out of Carolina, is one of the guys that I think most teams probably want their GMs, their front office, to go after, especially if they have any issues with interior offensive line. And the Colts definitely do. The Colts have a lot of work to do. So I think it's going to be exciting to watch McDaniels be a part of the draft and free agency process with Chris Ballard, who is going to be in his second year doing it. And I think he did a fantastic job in the first year. So I think a lot of people in Indianapolis really have a lot of trust that Ballard is going to fall through with a lot of the expectations that he had coming in.
Do you think that players want to come play for Josh McDaniels based off of what happened in Denver? Now he's the head coach again. Do you think players are going to say, hey, I'm willing to go there? Because I know the Broncos are trying to get rid of Tlaib. I know you guys need a safety. You got the money, but I know he's going to have to be traded. You think a player is going to say, all right, I'll go play for McDaniels. I think this guy has got it this go around.
I don't know about Tlaib, but I think that he and Tlaib had issues, didn't they, back in the day from Denver anyways?
Yeah.
I don't think that he would necessarily come, but I think that there would be some other interesting options. And I think that a lot, like Deion Lewis, Deion knows that he's going to have a role in McDaniel's offense if he comes. There's different guys. Now, defensive, that might be just a different issue, because if Eberflus comes in with the assistant head coach moniker to his name, which I think some are speculating that he could. I don't know that it would be anything for sure, but I think that there's a possibility that that could possibly happen. If that was to happen and he brings in some of the guys that he's familiar with, there's a couple interesting free agents out of Dallas, you know, that could make this Colts defense really, really improved in just a couple short moves. So I think that the whole package is going to be the selling point. And I think McDaniels, from everything that he's saying, has literally learned how to be a leader, as opposed to just being the guy who's expected to be the leader. and not really follow through with what that means with relationships with your players, how you coach guys, how you talk to them. You know, I think that he's had more time to come through, and like he was given the keys to the dealership there in Denver at 33. I don't know about you, but when I was 33, that was not probably a good idea for me either. So, I mean, I'm just kind of trying to be realistic about my expectations for McDaniels, because he had a lot on his shoulders. He had a quarterback that was, you know, for lack of better words, a real pain probably to deal with when he didn't get his way. And then you go to Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow, and, you know, things go south pretty quick in that order.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, so when he was New England, he doesn't really need a lot. Tom Brady doesn't need a lot. They don't need to have the best offensive line or defensive line, and they make it work. What do you expect this year out of your team with Josh McDaniels at the helm?
I would like. I mean, it's going to really change the offense that the Colts are used to, especially the offense that Andrew Luck's used to. And if there's one thing that I would probably like to see most out of what McDaniels can provide Andrew Luck, is that he can cut down on some of his boundary interceptions. When Luck throws, I think it's from 0 to 15 yards to the right or left of the field, you know, he's not nearly as good. He's got 24 interceptions. That's not good. That's like 10th worst since 2012. And when he's across the middle of the field, he's gone 34 touchdowns with 8 picks. So, I mean, he's got a ton of what you want out of the quarterback position. He puts some unnecessary touch on some throws towards the boundary. And a lot of what McDaniels is going to bring is quite enticing if you're a Colts fan and you're especially a person on this Colts offense. It's basically, you know, there's a spread notes to it. He's unpredictable. It's a complex system. He uses a lot of motion, decoys. He needs great route-running wide receivers. And those role-playing running backs that I was talking about earlier, those guys are necessary for this system. He has to have smart decision-making from Luck. And probably the best thing that McDaniels is really good at is creating mismatches with his, with his personnel. And I think that now this is kind of maybe a little bit bold, but when you look at what he's been able to do with Gronk and some of the other tight ends there, how he uses some of them to block in line, how he also splits them out, put them in the slot or whatever. There's an interesting name in Indianapolis, and his name's Ross Travis. And I think that, you know, a 6'7", 235-pound tight end opposite Jack Doyle, and if you've still got Eric Swope in there, you've got a nice little tight end core already sitting there waiting for Josh McDaniels, in my opinion. I think if you get Andrew Luck completely healthy, Josh McDaniels comes in, and these guys can really buy into this system and learn it. And perfected, I guess you could say, by within the first few weeks of the regular season, I think that this team could be, you know, just as good as they've ever been able to be with Andrew Luck under helm. His first three seasons, he won 11 games with, you know, at least two of the worst rosters the Colts have seen in probably more than a decade and a half. And that's, you know, that's not an easy task to undergo. So I think it's really interesting, and I think it could be a lot of fun.
Okay, cool. Hey, man, I tell you what, we'll get you back on again, man. I appreciate you coming on, talking with me, man.
Anytime. Enjoyed it.
Problem. That's my man, Matt Dainley, SB Nation. He covers the Colts.